sporting action at the weekend.
One goal to win the title. It's as simple as that.
Can you believe this?
Have you ever seen a try like that?
The Big Red Bench.
On Cork, good times.
Red FM.
Welcome on to the Big Red Bench on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey in the hot seat for the next hour or so. The Big Red Bench, proudly in association with Bord Gáis Energy, proud sponsors of the All-Ireland Senior Hurling Championship. Speaking of which, the Rebels are currently leading Offaly on a score of 215 to 13 points in Tullamore. The hurling may be ongoing at the moment, but before that, of course, we had the footballers play Tyrone. That finished 118 to 17 points in Tyrone's favour. And 1 point in the second half. Cork actually didn't score for 17 minutes, but enough from me. Let's hear now from Cork boss John Cleary.
Actually, where we are at this stage, we're very disappointed. We came up here to win today. Thought we'd played very well the first half, but didn't take our scores. Ultimately, came down to that. We had a slight breeze and playing probably into the scoring goal in the first half. Should have been 4 or 5 points up at half time, but weren't. Point up, and then I suppose ultimately the back card cost us big time in the second half. We went from a stage we were going in 5-3, I was looked up, and instead of getting a score, we ended up with a man down. Fairness to Tyrone, they punished us big time there. I think they got 1-4 in the when we had a man off with the black card, and they managed the game better at that period than we did. We didn't manage the game well at all at that stage, and I suppose look, we're in that learning curve. And today was a lesson for us, and it cost us the game in the end.
Is that the disappointment, John, that you weren't outclassed or you weren't outgunned, that if you had just been a little bit more efficient yourselves, that you could have kept control of this fixture?
It is, yeah. And I suppose, look, that's the beauty of playing in Division 1 year after year and playing against the top teams, and you'll get tested, but also you'll get your times of dominance, which we had today, and when you get those, you got to be clinical, and then when you're under the cosh, you got to manage things better. And felt then, you know, we maybe slightly panicked a small bit and went when we should have maybe just tried to pick away points there, even with 10-15 minutes to go. And but look, ultimately Tyrone deserved to win in the end, and we just got to take the lessons from it, and hopefully that this will improve us as a group going forward.
John, the decision to not start Brian Hurley, I know it was down to injury, but in the back of your heads, the fact that you were guaranteed a game no matter how today went, did that factor into it?
Look, he wasn't 100% today, so there was no way he was going to start. If you put somebody out there, the pace and what goes on in these championship matches, so it was never, I would take, even if it was knockout today, he wasn't going to start because he wasn't 100%.
John, I know you don't know where you're going yet, but I'm not stating the obvious. It'll be difficult to turn around a week when you've a lengthy journey in front of you.
Yeah, look, but what choice have we?
Yeah.
Do you know, we were started the league, we were 3 games down, and our next game was away in Fermanagh, and you know, it was do or die, and you know, the guys galvanised and got going, and that's what we intend to do, you know, for this week. So the lads inside there now, look, we can be feeling sorry for ourselves now for 10 minutes, and then championship week starts right now. And this is the first time in the championship this year where it could be our last game, or we could be going to Croke Park. So there's still a big prize at stake, and hopefully we can learn from the learnings here now today. And we'll just have to wait Monday mornings, look at the draw then, where we could be going. So we'll see on that.
Right now, is a week too tight for Brian Hurley? Or
I don't know. It's 50-50, I would think. It's not a serious injury. He has a chance for next week.
Yeah, it would be great to see Brian Hurley come back into the squad. Now, while all that was happening, our very own Joe McCarthy was there for us in the MTU Arena for the Cork LGFA TG Cahir All-Ireland Senior Championship clash of Cork versus Galway. We'll hear some post-match reaction from players and management after this highly enjoyable chat with Joe himself. We're delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench by Joe McCarthy. We'll get into the senior men's footballers in a small bit, but you were at Cork Galway LGFA game for us earlier on today. Cork 112, Galway 110. How did you find that one?
Yeah, really exciting game, Dan, and a really excellent performance. Cork's best of the year by far under Shane Ronan. Amazing to think that these are the two counties that were relegated from National League Division 1 this year. And yes, Galway have bounced back to win the Connacht Championship before entering their first group game of the All-Ireland Series today. Cork lost to Clare in the Munster, or Kerry in the Munster final, bounced back to hammer Laois in their opening group game the week before. So this was the second of three group games involving Laois, Galway and Cork. So Cork already had a victory in the bank, and they knew coming into this game that if they won, they would secure a home All-Ireland quarterfinal, and that's exactly what they did. I mean, I wouldn't say they made hard work of it, but they are a team transformed since the team I saw through the National League getting relegated. They are a far, far more dangerous opponent now at this time of year than they were at any other stage of the season. I think credit to Shane Ronan and the backroom team, and certainly all the people involved in getting them sorted and getting a much better Cork senior LGFA team out on the pitch. And they deserve this victory today. They won by 2 points. It was a very, very close game all the way through, but they deserve to win it.
Yeah, and I mean, we'll hear the audio from Shane anyway, but what were his emotions like after the match, sir?
I mean, straight after the game, I think we put out a tweet there on the Big Red Bench coach. You could see him leaping into the arms of Tomás McAteer, one of his backroom team mentors, and punching the air, running on the sideline. Shane understands the importance of this victory. Number one, Cork have a home All-Ireland quarter-final, so they won't have to travel, which is a huge, huge benefit. Number two, they beat a serious All-Ireland contender today. Not a favourite, but a contender. They also beat a Galway team. They played them much earlier in the year than we were covering it down in Bishopstown. 4G pitch amid a red weather warning and, I don't know, 100-mile-an-hour winds. I don't know if the game had played at all. It was Cork's only victory of the National League campaign. But today, the Galway team that they faced had all the Kilkerr and Clonbarron players back in there. The All-Ireland, reigning All-Ireland club champions for the last 2 years. Much, much stronger team. They had Leanne Cohen, they had Emma Rainey, they had Roisin Leonard, and they certainly had that half-forward line of Olivia Dively, Louise Ward and Niamh Dively. This is a really, really solid team under Daniel Moynihan. And look, Galway might have lost. They get to play Laois in their final group game. If they win that, they go into the quarter-final draw as runners-up in the group if they win it, but they'll be on the road. But from Cork's point of view, and from Shane's point of view, I think what he was most pleased with was the full 60-minute performance. Hannah Looney, we'll talk about her, was a game-changer coming off the bench. The rise of Ava McAuliffe, a young 17-year-old from Middleton, who added in 3 points following her 2 goals the last day against Laois, is another huge bonus for them. And just all around the pitch, Laura O'Mahony, player of the match performance at centre-forward, all over the field, connecting play. And the backs as well, Melissa Duggan, Aoife Healy at centre-back as well, and the two Kylies, Dara, who started, and her twin sister, Emer, who came on. She's been a welcome return as well to this team. Yeah, then Sarah Leahy, I haven't mentioned, you know, I've mentioned Shauna Kelly, I haven't mentioned Emma Cleary. There was just so many good performances today, and they had to be, Dan, because they had to beat, everybody had to be on it today. There were 3 points down at halftime. They didn't panic. They got back into the game. They got the goal. Once Hannah Looney came on, she made the big difference. And the defence, they held out towards the end. And they could and should have won by more. They wasted a lot of chances right near the end. But I don't think Shane Ronan will be too bothered by that tonight. He's just delighted that all the work and the criticism that they took, and they did ship a lot of criticism to this Cork senior team, they took it on the chin. They went back into the gym, as he said himself. They trained unbelievably hard. Mm-hmm. And they now have a much stronger panel since the start of the year and an All-Ireland quarter-final on home side to look forward to.
Katie Quirk, there's been so much made about her, badly missed with injury. How does she fare today?
Brilliant as ever. I know she was Cork's top scorer with 7 points, and 5 of those were from frees. Very trying conditions, we have to say, as well today, and it was very, very windy. She missed a couple of ones you would expect her to get coming down the stretch, but Katie is now that bit more experienced at inter-county level and the Bright Rovers forward. She shrugged that off and just kicked the next two, which I think is a sign of a really, really good and improving player. Her link-up play, especially with Rachel Leahy and with Ava McAuliffe in the first half in the forward line, two young players either side of her. Katie just brought those two young players into the game. She also linked up well with Amy McDonough and with Emma Cleary and with Laura Manny in that half forward line. Just her all-round play now, she's become so, so important to the Cork forward line. And I think, you know, in the absence of Dearon O'Sullivan, you know, one of the all-time greats of Cork men or women's football, you know, it's you're stepping into a number 14 jersey. It's a big responsibility. But she was, again, one of Cork's linchpins today in the victory. We do have to mention the dual player, though, Hannah Looney, who we also spoke to afterwards, and you'll hear that interview. When she was told she wasn't playing, she was far from happy coming into the game. But she told Shane point blank, if you're looking for an impact, I'll give you an impact off the bench. And she certainly did that. as soon as she came on, she put herself about, got in between Mairead Glynn and Alva Davern in midfield for Galway, but also crucially, Dan, she got on the end of a flowing move and found the net from close range to get Cork's goal, which was absolutely vital, because after 47 minutes it turned a 2-point deficit into a 1-point lead, and even more impressively, right at the end, at the death, when Galway got in behind the Cork defence for one-on-one with goalkeeper Sarah Murphy, she absolutely, Hannah Looney came out of nowhere and threw herself bravely into the face of the ball and blocked a goal-bound shot. We don't know where it would have gone, but she was in the right place at the right time at each end of the pitch. The mark of a quality player, the mark of a class player. And Hannah Looney's improved fitness, Hannah Looney's impact off the bench, and Hannah Looney's influence in that dressing room. You'll hear as well from Mabby O'Mahony and a couple of younger players what she means to this team and to the Camogie team too, to be fair to her, but especially to the football team. The timing couldn't be better for Shane Ronan to have a fully fit Hannah Looney and a hungry Hannah Looney, you know, making that kind of impact in a really important game. We'll need Hannah Looney if we want to go any further in this championship, but she, along with Katie Quirk, and I must mention as well O'Donovan Ross's Laura O'Mahony, who was outstanding, as were the midfielders. Mauro Callan as well played a real captain's role, made a huge impact in the final minutes with a timely interception. And Abby O'Mahony from Glanmire, still a young player who's only just on the scene, came off before the end, but she put in a big shift as well. Look, everywhere around the pitch, solid performances, real determination, and the joy on the Cork players' faces and all those fans inside the pitch and outside the M2 pitch afterwards that were anxious to the autograph hunters again. It was lovely to see. It's becoming a recurring theme this year with Cork GAA and LGFA and Camogie. But Cork, a team transformed since the National League, and deservedly, thanks to Katie Quirk, thanks to Hannah Looney, thanks to Laura Manny, and a full team effort to overcome what is a very, very good Galway team that have not gone away.
Where do you think they're sitting now in the national pecking order, Jack?
That's a good question. I think Dublin are still the benchmark. I think Kerry, even though Cork really did rattle them in the Munster final this year, and with a bit more, I think Cork's performance today against Galway might have been good enough to beat Kerry on that day. I know it's hypothetical. I think Dublin and Kerry are still up there. I've had a big hunch that Armagh would do something special this year under Greg McGonigal. They have a very, very talented team. They've lost a couple of key players in Mackens to an injury, much like Cork have lost Libby Coppinger. So that is a bit of a setback for them, but I think they're capable of taking a scalp. I think Cork are in the mix, Dan, is the honest answer, but I think Kerry and Dublin at this point in time, even after today's performance, I still think Kerry and Dublin are that little bit further ahead of everybody. That experience of getting to an All-Ireland final and knowing what to do when you get there, but this Cork team have come on leaps and bounds, and neither Dublin nor Kerry would want to face Cork in a semi-final, let alone a quarter-final, having watched that performance today, because they themselves have had trouble with Galway in the past. So I think Cork are in a much better place, but in the pecking order and in terms of winning an All-Ireland senior title, they're still slightly on the outskirts, but much closer than they were before throwing.
Yeah, a team who will be in the mix in a tough preliminary quarter-final draw is, of course, the men's side. How do you think they got on against Tyrone today?
I level with you, Dan. I mean, it's a disappointing result. Losing 118 to 17 points, like when you see the final score, it doesn't really give the full story of that match. I think John Cleary, even from listening to him after the match, will have regrets. Number one, missing Brian Hurley. I know Stephen Sherlock came in, and I'm a huge Stephen Sherlock fan, as anyone who listens to the Big Red Bench knows. Been beating that drum for years that Stephen Sherlock should be starting for the Cork seniors. He got 8 points today, six of them from frees, and some of them were really difficult frees. Mark Cronin as well did very well, as did Chris Oak-Jones. But when you lose Hurley's influence, you know, in the join-up play, in the build-up play, and in certainly in occupying other defenders and being closely marked by one or most of the times by two defenders, Cork, I think, just lacked something up front today. But even at half-time, and it was a very even game. I mean, like, there were, what was it, 10 points to 9 up at half-time?
Yeah.
It was a far more open game than I anticipated, and maybe perhaps both teams anticipated. But the thing is, the second half, I suppose most people will point to the black card and Chris Oak-Jones' black card when he roughly tackled the goalkeeper, Morgan, Niall Morgan for Tyrone. It's up to a referee, and in that instance, it probably looked worse than it actually was. But, you know, that did certainly change things. And, like, you cannot get away from the fact that Tyrone outscored Cork in the 10 minutes they had the extra player, 1-3 to 2 points. And that really was the deciding of the game. I know Tyrone had a player sent off near the end, but even then, with 14 players, the defensive system that Brian Duir has in there, it didn't really matter at that point. Yeah. Cork needed to go for goals, and they were never going to get through. So I think it's just disappointing because today was an opportunity for the Cork seniors. They were leading the group. We knew Donegal were going to beat Clare. We didn't expect them possibly to win by the margin that they did, but they did that. But it's just, I think it's just an opportunity lost, Dan, and that's the kind of annoying thing, that had Cork reproduced the full 70 minutes that they did against Donegal, which they didn't do today, they might have been a lot closer at the final whistle. Coming down the stretch, they were still a point or two ahead or a point or two behind. Once Tyrone got the goal in the second goal, they were at arm's length and there was only ever going to be one winner. I wouldn't blame Chris Oak-Jones for Cork losing today, because I think the real reason we lost today is we kicked far, far too many wides, and we had an opportunity, I think, a goal chance that would have put us 4 points up. We missed it, they recycled the ball, and you know, it was all of a sudden the scores were level, and then after the red card, or sorry, the black card for Chris Oak-Jones, you know, we were outscored 1-3 to 2 points, and that was the deciding of the game. But look, we have to take a step back here, because there's going to be a lot of criticism of John Cleary and the Cork seniors. Just take a step back for a second. We rattled Tyrone, who I think are an outside All-Ireland challenger. We beat Donegal, who are a serious All-Ireland contender. We've come on, I think that's only our second loss in maybe 9-10 competitive matches this year. Yes, we're into a preliminary All-Ireland quarterfinal. Yes, we're going to be on the road and it's not going to be easy. But the improvement is there. The real disappointment is that we weren't able to back up the Donegal performance. Whatever about the result, we didn't back up the full performance for the full 70 minutes. And I think that, more than anything, will occupy John Cleary's mind during the coming week and on Monday when he finds out who we will be playing in the preliminary quarterfinals.
Goal-wise, we never looked like we were going to get one, really, I don't think. I mean, to get three against Donegal, who hadn't conceded in one All Championship, and then to go today and never look like we were really going to get one. Where do you think it went wrong in that department?
I think just Tyrone probably had their homework done then. I think they'd seen how we'd gotten in. It's interesting to me that the goals that we got against Donegal all came from defenders. I still count Sean Potter as a defender, even though he wears number 11. Like Rory Maguire as well, getting in behind the defence. Today, those avenues were just shut down. Mm. And I think when you don't have Brian Hurley in the front line, cutting across, cutting out wide, bringing and dragging defenders out of, it's something you can't appreciate unless you're there live watching him do that. He's an absolute workhorse off the ball when he does that. We certainly lacked that today. And I think we tried to do the same things that we did against Donegal. The overlaps, trying to get through running guards. Now, we did get through once, maybe twice in the game, but we didn't finish them off. And I just felt, I didn't see the shoulders drop when we went down to 14 men. I wouldn't go back, and I wouldn't blame Chris Oak-Jones or the black card for that. But I did see the shoulders sag a little bit when we missed those goal chances. I think psychologically, had we scored them, the one or two that we did manage to get, we might have, you know, it might have maintained the tempo, might have maintained the confidence. And it just took, I think we took a bit of a shock to the system when Tyrone had closed off the avenues to Donegal. We were able to get through against Donegal. I think we definitely need a bigger spread of scores. Four scorers today, Sherlock, Cronin, Oak-Jones and O'Driscoll, is not good enough. If you want to beat the big teams, you want to beat the better teams, you're going to need 8-9 scores, maybe 10 on some occasions. Yeah. And we had that against Donegal. We had Rory Maguire, with Sean Powder, and we had Matty Taylor. Three defenders again, two defenders and a centre-forward playing as a kind of a sweeping defender who burst from the back, found the gaps and executed. We weren't able to do that today against a much better organised defence, in my opinion. So that's something for John Cleary and the backroom team to work on again. But you're right, we need a better spread of scores against the higher ranked counties if we want to make that next step. And I think there's enough talent in there to do that. Unfortunately, we just couldn't get it done today.
I mean, I'm probably focusing on negative a small bit. Any positives we can take from today?
Absolutely. I mean, look, I'm like you. I'm trying not to be too disappointed, and I'm just disappointed that the opportunity was there, and we haven't had one of these opportunities in I don't know how long to get to a quarter final at Croke Park, give ourselves a break, and have a break against a team that will have to play for 2 weeks, two, 3 weeks on the trot. I think the positives are that Stephen Sherlock is an able assistant. He's not the same as Brian Hurley, but he's a free taker and he's somebody that can nail the frees, and he's somebody that come in. I think defensively, I think on offensive, if we improve our kicking and our choice of kicking, I think we'll kick a lot more scores at the Premier League quarterfinal, wherever that is. I think we missed far, far too many games. Now, I wasn't in Tullamore. Maybe the wind was a factor. It certainly was a factor in MTU and Cork today, Dan, in the ladies' football match. There would have been a lot more scores, but the wind was just very hard to judge. But more than anything, we need to go back to the Donegal game and tap into the belief that got us over the line. And it wasn't there today. It was a frustrating day. Tyrone, like they do very well, they control the game, they strangle the game coming down the stretch, and they manage to pick off scores. We've got to be better defensively. We cannot concede the amount of goal chances that we seem to be doing again. Now, we did really well against Donegal. we prevented. I think McBrearty had the only real chance today. Tony Gall, they got in for their goal, but they could have got in for a couple more. Tighten up defensively. I think go back to the overlaps, get Matty Taylor further up the pitch, get Rory Maguire further up the pitch. Whoever we play in the preliminary quarter final, if it isn't a Northern team, they may not be as defensively sound. So that's an opportunity as well. But look, we've got to move up another 5-10% on today's performance if we want to win that preliminary quarter final and get to Croke Park. I do think the nucleus of the team today and the team that got us to this point against Donegal and against Clare can still pull out a performance, maybe on the road, and you know the pressure's off and they're not at home. I think Cork are a counter-attacking team by nature. It might suit them. But yeah, today is a big setback. There's no getting away from it, but all is not lost. And we've got to remember where we are now to where we were in the National League, to where we were against Fermanagh when, you know, not so long ago we needed a Maurice Shanley injury time goal to keep our National League hopes alive. We've come a long way since then and we're still on the right track. It's a setback and it's going to be very difficult on the road, but not impossible, not at all. And I think there's enough talent within this panel and belief definitely that they can bounce back and pull out a victory the next day out.
Ashford, look, sure, as I keep saying, the double is still on. It's not over till it's over. Preliminary quarter final. We're going to know now Monday morning, I think, 8:30. That's going to be a tough draw for the Rebels, whoever we get.
Yes, the fact, you know, it could be Galway, it could be Armagh, it could be Mayo, it could be in Croke Park against the Leinster team. We just have to wait until the other groups tease themselves out today and tomorrow. I think, look, irrespective of who it is, you know, the fact that you're going to be on the road means you're going to be counter-attacking, you're going to be on the defensive rather than being at home and being expected to kind of be on the front foot, if you know what I mean, Dan. Mm-hmm. I know that's kind of like a soccer analogy, but with the Cork hurlers and with the footballers, certainly there's always that emphasis on, you know, taking the game to their opponents. But look, you know, were we to draw Galway, were we to draw Mayo, I'd flip that immediately on its head. Nobody expected us to beat Mayo last year in Limerick. No, I don't. Very few people expect us to go into the Gaelic grounds last year after the season that we'd had in Division 2. It'd been very up and down. And Cork put in one of their best performances of many years and beat a really good Mayo team. Yeah. They backed it up then by beating Roscommon. There's no reason they can't go to Castlebar and do that. And remember, whoever we go to, Dan, the pressure's on the home team because they've got home advantage. I hope and I do think the Cork fans will travel much more than would normally travel. I think we've picked up a good few fans that may not have been that interested in the Cork senior footballers. We certainly picked them up after the Donegal game. There was a very good crowd in Tullamore today. Who knows? If we end up in Armagh or if we end up in Croke Park, that's another day's work. But I think this team, it's a very together group, definitely from speaking to them, from speaking to the players. It's a lot further down its evolution, down the road of its evolution under John Cleary in the last four or five months, not even 12 months, than where we were this time last year. So I still live in hope and I still think that even though we'll be on the road and even though we will probably now be underdogs irrespective of who we play, that just might suit us that bit better. And I go back to it again. The performance against Clare, the performance against Donegal, the feel-good factor, the momentum, it has been jarred today and it's a disappointing setback, but it is not the end of the road. If we were to win the preliminary quarter-final, irrespective of who it's against, think of the boost that would give the team again going into a quarter-final. Why not? And I think if John Cleary and the backroom team remind the Cork players of where they are and where they've come, there's no reason, in my opinion, irrespective of who we play, if we put in a good performance, and a full 70-minute performance, that's the thing, get a better spread of scores, we'll certainly be there or thereabouts.
Well, Joe McCarthy, really appreciate it. Thanks so much for talking to us here on the Big Red Bench.
No worries.
Great stuff from Joe, as always. We'll hear from some of the LGFA camps soon after the break. But first, here's Tyrone's Niall Morgan, the goalkeeper, speaking to Tommy Rooney following his side's win over the Rebels.
Niall Morgan, we're in front of some of the Cork and Tyrone fans here in Glenys and Connor Park, Tullamore. Well done to Tyrone today, a big win. Unfortunately, Donegal have taken first spot, but getting second place in the group is important.
Yeah, it's important. Last year we had the opportunity to do the same and we just scraped through on the last day, so it was important to get a win here today, and that's our first back-to-back win since 2021 in the Championship, so it's been a long time coming and hopefully we're starting to build towards something.
I'd heard that before the game. Were you aware of that as a group?
Oh yeah, it's been talked about, I think, every year since. In 22 it was, we need to get back-to-back wins. 23 we need to get... So it's good to finally get it, and it's just a wee monkey off our back and something that we don't have to talk about anymore, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. Especially when you've got a lot of young players coming through, like Rory Canavan kicking two nice points early on, Shawnee O'Donnell having a good game, Ben Cullen getting the goal, Kieran Daly playing a role in it. A lot of young players making a big difference already. Did Sheohair get a point? No, he didn't. He came on, though.
Yeah. No, it's... There's been a massive turnover, and like Ben only found out he was starting 30 seconds before the game's thrown in, like, which, you know, at the same time maybe suits a young lad, that they don't have too much time to think about it. But we've got a good turnover of the squad. I'm feeling very old. I'm sure Matty feels a lot older than me and Petey, but we're knocking on. We're getting plenty of games behind us, but it's good to see them, and it's refreshing for us whenever we see them boys coming up.
What was that challenge like today? Cork were leading by a point at half-time. That first half was very, very much point for point. But once that black card happened, you really took control of the game.
Yeah, and it's good that we took control, because Clare got a black card against us at the start of the game last week. And I think in the period that the black card was there, I think it was maybe 2-2 or something very, very small. So it was good to push on in that period and take advantage of it. But like the first half, I thought it was weird. Like, it was almost as if there seemed to be so much space, but it seemed claustrophobic at the same time. I know that sounds silly, but it was just about a case of getting over the line, and we did that. So
absolutely, like, we've seen a lot of goals over the last couple of months, especially weeks, of teams tearing away in the break and scoring them. They've been standing out, a lot of one-on-ones with keepers left in the lurch. There was probably a couple of times today you lived dangerously, but you got away with it, especially that black card moment. You needed to win that ball when Powder slightly overcooked it.
Yeah, I suppose. I think I play outfield for the club, and that definitely helps me in them situations. Like, it's a case of you have a split second to decide if you're going to make it or not, and that's probably gives me a little bit of an advantage, whereas a lot of the other keepers do goals for their club, and then it takes them that wee bit longer to decide. So I got there thankfully just about. If he had got the hand of the ball first, it would have been me clattering him, and you know how that would have went down. Like, so
it's amazing the fine lines can swing at the end. But Tyrone, very deserved winners today. Well done yourself. Kick three, a lovely score from play as well. So there's no doubt that you do play outfield for the club now. Well done.
Thank you.
Best of luck. Look at the last one here. It's going to be a different buzz now going home. It does put a different spin on things. Like, I know it's a relentless schedule, but having that game in Oma is massive.
It does make a big difference. But the one thing I'd like to say is, like, our support, like, we've got a real good core support there, but like we need everybody out, like, you know, and I know it's tough times and stuff, but it means so much to us whenever our supporters come, because the way we look at it, we've got the best supporters about, like, and to say that core group, we couldn't be thankful enough for them. So if we can get a good home support next week, it'll definitely be an advantage.
Yeah, well, it's knockout now. I better let you go, because the Cork hurlers and Offaly hurlers are going to be out, and we'll get hit by a setter. So thanks, mate.
No boss, thank you.
Brilliant stuff there from Tommy. Cork 220, Offaly 118, the latest in the hurling in Tullamore. Now, the ref's whistle has blown for halftime here on the Big Red Bench on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Come back to us in the second half. We'll have all the Cork LGFA post-match reaction, as well as hearing from Cork City boss Tim Clancy. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next half hour. And there's been a goal in Tullamore, and it is that man again, Patrick Horgan. Of course, it is now 3:21 to 1:18 in Cork's favour. The Big Red Bench in proud association with Bord Gáis Energy. They are, of course, proud partners of the Senior All-Ireland Hurling Championship. Now, Joe McCarthy was, of course, there for us at the Cork LGFA game earlier today. Here he was speaking post-match to Abby O'Mahony after their win.
Abby O'Mahony, congratulations. Just how tough was that game against Galway?
Oh God, it was a very tough game, but we fought through. We got a small bit of a bollocking at half time, but deserved, definitely. But we were whipped into shape, and all the girls put the head down, and obviously, like, the impact from the bench was huge. We needed that. So,
and talk about the impact from the bench. What about Hannah Looney coming on, not alone getting the goal, but making a very important block near the end? How important is she to this panel?
Oh, Hannah is a class act. she got some goal, and then to block up the other goal at the other end, like, oh, brilliant. Yeah, she's a great asset to the team as well as all the other girls. So, yeah, delighted.
It's a big win for you, because you've beaten All-Ireland contender and you had to play well today. There's been a big turnaround since the National League. What's happened? Have you just got knuckled down in training and just improvements have come along the way?
Well, I don't want to be kind of making excuses for us at the beginning, but, like, I suppose it is, you know, we were new to it, and they're, like, even though we did have a lot of the same girls from last year, there were still a bunch that that didn't come back. So, like, you know, there would be teething problems, but, you know, we knuckled down and we kind of got to the core of what's you know, what it is to be a team. So I think that the communication was a huge thing, and just becoming like all the friendlier with each other on and off the pitch. So that really, you know, translated into our play then, I thought.
It certainly has. A home quarter final. We don't know who you're going to play yet, but home partner, is that for you? Because hopefully a big crowd and playing in Cork with a chance to get to the semi-finals.
Yeah, well, we've been very lucky now, having this MTU pitch. It was lovely, so that would be great if we were back here again. But delighted to get that home game. But we'll see now who we'll be playing against.
Excellent stuff, Abby. Well done.
Thanks very much.
And you also spoke to Captain O'Callaghan.
Mara O'Callaghan, Cork captain. Very, very important victory, but the manner of the victory today against an All-Ireland contender, how satisfying is that for you and the players?
Yeah, we're absolutely delighted to come out of here with a win today. Like, we know Galway are a serious, serious team, and they fancy their chances for the All-Ireland, so I suppose they're a big contender, and look, to come out of a win, beating by 2 points, a serious team, we take that off you any day, so we're delighted as a group.
Wasted a few chances toward the ends there, made it a bit more exciting than it needed to be, but the manner in which you came back in the second half, kept your cool, got the goal when Hannah came on, and walked the victory, controlled it towards the end. That's very, very important, because you're going to be coming up against similarly tough teams.
Yeah, 100%. I think like that, I suppose, response that we came out in the second half with, we'll be looking to bring that into other games. You know, we were disappointed at half time with how we'd, you know, I think our attack count was really low, like the stats. We weren't working hard enough. I suppose that was why we weren't where we wanted to be. So look, we drew a line in the sand and came out in the second half, and we were like, let's just go for it now. And look, thankfully we ended up where we wanted to be. Hannah got a brilliant goal, and then I suppose that settled us down a bit. We got on the right side of a good few turnovers, but then we also wasted a lot of ball as well, so we'll definitely need to learn from that. And I suppose I'd say we'll get into a good bit of trouble at training for how we reacted in the last couple of minutes of the game, but look, thankfully we still came out of there with a win.
Just finally a home quarter final, home partner, is that?
Absolutely huge. You know, we're delighted. I suppose like we see it that we're improving every single game, so to get that bit of advantage to be at home against a second team in another group, albeit they'll obviously still be a top team, is absolutely huge, and we're delighted to, I suppose, to have that looking at in front of us now in the next 3 weeks.
Excellent stuff. Well done, Mara.
Thank you.
You also spoke to the extremely impressive today, Hannah Looney.
Hannah Looney, as cameos off the bench score, that wasn't bad at all. A goal and a very, very important block right near the end. You must be delighted.
Yeah, no, I'm delighted. Like, look, it just feels like a really, really good day for Cork football. You know, it's been a struggle for me personally, not going to lie, and it's been a struggle for the team, but like we're really, really building, and it's just getting better and better and better. And I think this win is going to really, really stand to us. You know, a home quarter final and a win, and just the buzz around the place, it just really feels like Cork football is back. But it won't mean much if we don't drive on now again the next day. But look, we've a good 3 weeks, and I think we'll learn a lot in those 3 weeks as well.
You got a really stiff challenge from an All-Ireland contender today, and he answered the challenge. I mean, that mentally for you must be really important.
Yeah, that's it. Like, if we lost today, look, it wouldn't have been the end of the world, we would have regrouped and stuff like that. But it's the winning that'll really, really stand to us. We know now we're as good as everyone else. We know we're All-Ireland contenders, and it's just about getting that belief in the girls. And I think people are walking out here today believing that, you know.
From your own point of view, took the goal really well. You were lurking with intent to finish it off.
Yeah, I suppose it's something we've been practicing at training recently. Like, we butchered a lot of goal chances last week against Leash, so we had to put it in the back of the net today. So I was just at the end of it, look, you know, like that, so delighted.
It's great to see you out looking fit, fully fit, making an impact for your own confidence in the rest of the championship in football, and from the Camogie point of view, must be thrilled.
Yeah, that's it. Like, you know, it's just for me, it's always like you got to build bit by bit by bit. Like, I could have thrown in the towel, and as I said personally weeks ago, but I didn't, because I love Cork football, I love Cork Camogie, and you know, as long as I just keep improving and can make an impact in the team, whatever that looks like, I'm going to be there.
Excellent. Great. Thanks. To have you back. Well done.
Thanks a million, Ger. Thank you.
You're also caught up with Cork LGFA manager Shane Ronayne.
Shane Ronayne, victory, very important. The manner in which he beat an All-Ireland contender today. I know it wasn't hectic there towards the end. You wasted a lot of chances to put the game away. But the manner in which he controlled the game and held on and came back in the second half, sorry. Home partner, is that for you and for the players?
Yeah, look, Joe, I suppose we were very disappointed at halftime. I felt we had probably the better opportunities in the first half, didn't take them, something we've been, I suppose, critical of ourselves at training for not taking opportunities. But and our tackle count was very low at half time. So they were the big things that we had to up our aggression, up our tackle count. And, you know, we doubled it in the second half, which was huge. We were way more aggressive on the ball as well. We were busting through people, taking people on. And I think we closed it out well. You know, like, I suppose we worked in a defensive shape in the league. I think that came to our benefit there. When you're back in that situation, you know, bide your time, you get the ball back. And Mara got a brilliant interception there, you know, with about a minute and a half to go. I got it up the field, and as you said, you know, we had a couple of, I suppose, 3v1s and things like that up front, and we should have taken them, but look, we didn't. I suppose, I think Libby said there, she did the same last year against Armagh, just to make it exciting for everybody, you know. But I think, look, the battling qualities came through. This squad has been working incredibly hard since I went back in November. I think all the stuff we've been doing, both in the gym, you know, on the pitch, the training, the tactical stuff, you know, the bit of more cynicism has to be done. I think it's coming to fruition now. Those younger players, I suppose, had a very chastising league campaign. So do we as a management. But what they've learned from that league campaign, the experience they've got, I think it's really shining through now. We know we've got players we can trust on the field. We have a brilliant bench today. We didn't get impact in the Munster final, and that's no disrespect to who came on in the Munster final. We got impact against Leash last day, and I felt very confident that was going to get impact today. I had to tell players the other night they weren't playing. Hannah was very disappointed. And she turned around and said, "I'll give you impact," she said. And she did. Emma Kiley the same. Shauna Cronin. Anna Ryan, very disappointed not to be playing today. Went on and pulled the one down there at the end. It has to be done. Took one for the team. I think to have that impact coming off the sideline, knowing that if someone is tired, like Emma Cleary was taken off because she was on two ticks. Wasn't because he was playing bad. Abby O'Malley, the same. Just, we needed a bit of fresh legs. Derek Kiley, fresh legs. We have the players. This is a nutritional game where you need 20 players every day we go out. And who's to know what the 20 will be the next day? We 26, we've got 34 girls, 35 girls, fighting for 26 spots. We're making a conscious decision to put 26 out. We're increasing the fight. The training has gone up a level. And look, we're very, very happy with where we're going. I'm very, very proud of them today because things weren't looking good just before half-time. But we got the last 2 points in the first half. I think that was very, very important, especially Katie 3. She'd hit a couple of ones that just dropped over, and she sailed that one over for us. And again, second half, things mightn't have been going well for Katie, but Christ, you know, she made the right decision there for the goal and got a couple of good points then when you need them. So look, we're very happy, Jor. This group has been put through the ringer, everybody involved, but we're coming out the right side of it now, and I think we're tougher for it, we're better for it. And look, I think, you know, we have a home quarter-final now, so we're really delighted with that. 3 weeks to go. We've players here this morning, the quarter was 10 running, getting themselves ready for 3 weeks' time. Because we knew we were going to be in the quarterfinal probably either way. And that's the dedication it's taken. All those girls were out there doing water today, picking up cones. Fantastic group inside that dressing room. Very, very proud to be involved with them.
Whatever about the physical improvement, whatever about the tactical improvement, whatever about the overall improvement, psychologically, Shane, getting your victory over an All-Ireland contender and knowing that the hard work is paying off, the benefit of that going into the quarterfinal?
Yeah, it's absolutely huge. Look, those are, it looks as times last year, or even the year before, or even down to the last few years with Cork. You know, you're expected to win the game, or you have the chance to win a game. We went in at half time, not happy with ourselves. And they were actually able to flip it around and turn it. And, you know, and even when things in the second half, like Laura Manny had a brilliant chance, it just gets flicked away from you. You think the chance is gone. But we won the next ball again. And we scored 1-2 in the trot. And, you know, I think that ability to, I suppose, get rid of those mistakes out of your head very, very quickly and go again and think of the positives, you know, is shining through in this group now. And I think those defeats in the league have helped that. They didn't want to be, they don't want to be in those positions again. But the work they're doing, they know themselves, they're ticking all the boxes. And if you're ticking all those boxes, but in all your preparation things, then your head is way stronger. And look, we've great work being done as well, but with our sports performance guy, Tiger Dunne, he's given the girls great confidence as well. So look, I think we have a huge management team there. They're all doing their jobs. Players are all doing their jobs. And we're now seeing the results of it, Joe.
Excellent. Delighted for you. Well done. We'll talk at the quarterfinals.
Thanks very much, Joe.
Brilliant stuff from Shane, as always. And, of course, our very own Joe McCarthy as well. Spain beating Croatia 3-0 in their Euros game at the moment. The latest from Tullamore is Cork 3-24, Offaly 1-18. Get a sense Cork are going into a bit of cruise control at the minute. Something a little bit different. Now we're headed to athletics. And Cork's Phil Healy is a European Athletics Championship medalist. The Ballineen Bullet around the third leg of the women's 4x4, or the mixed 4x4 for Ireland, as they took silver in a new national record time, taking almost 2 seconds off of their previous best.
Sophie Becker, Rashida Adeleke and Charlene Maudsley ran the other legs. It rounded off a successful championship for the Irish team following goals for Kira McGeehan and the mixed 4x400 team and Adeleke Silver in the 400. Let's hear Will Downing's commentary from Thursday night.
Maudsley's looking to make a big surge here, and Belgium are looking to move up as well on the outside. It's Holland, Ireland, Belgium, the 1-2-3, and it's going to stay that way. The Dutch take gold, Ireland take silver, Belgium third. A fourth medal for Ireland. It is the most successful European Championships ever for Ireland. Two silver and two gold.
And afterwards, Will spoke to the Irish women's team.
Glory days of it. I mean, magnificent stuff. It's a European silver medal for you and for the rest of the team.
It's just phenomenal. This is everything that we've dreamt of. This team has been together for the last 2-3 years. You know, we were sixth at the European Championships 2 years ago, and now to be on the podium, a silver medal and a shiny new national record, 3:22 beside Ireland. It's just, it's the thing of dreams. Like, athletics, it's an individual sport for the most part. It can be a lonely sport, but days like these are far from lonely, and it's just great to have friends and teammates beside you to celebrate like this.
I mean, talk to me about the team aspect of this, because Ireland, for a good few years, very good at relays, now fantastic.
Like, I think it's safe to say we're a nation of 400 metre runners now. Like, you know, that's, everybody wants to be a 400 metre every runner, everybody wants to be on the team, and why not when we're getting silverware like this? The mixed relay definitely set the tone at the start of the week. The motivation that they brought into camp, you know, we had Kieran McGeehan getting the medal, Rashida obviously getting the medal, like, and now the relay. So I think we have to give a little bit of props to the mixed relay for making us all hungry at the start of the champs.
And home sweet home, just to get back to Wexford at some point with the medal?
Absolutely, yeah. I haven't been home for the last couple of weeks. It's just been busy season, travelling around and everything, but no, I'm so excited to get home with my medal, see my family and my friends and my community. Like, the support I have at home, it's next to none, and I'm just so happy that I have a medal to show for that now.
It's a very well done, Sophie. Phil, you're on leg three. What is it like to be leading a European final?
Yeah, like, it's crazy. I knew we were going to get in a great position, just like Bahamas with Rashida on the second leg, so there is that little bit of pressure. Like, you obviously have to control it from the front, so I definitely went out hard, maybe tired a little bit on the home straight, but I passed it over in second position to Charlene, and I hope I did a good enough job for the team. But like, it's just phenomenal to be out here with the girls, to go out later and be on that podium. Like, that's so, so special. Like, I've come to five major European championships, I've gone to world championships. Like, these are the moments that you dream of. It's just so, so surreal to be out there later, and there's so many Irish here in the stand, and to obviously take this home back to Ireland on Friday.
Well, I mean, you've had years of national records and, you know, European leads, and I remember you running in the university championships. Everybody remembers you doing that. And like, here you are in one of the biggest stages of all, one of the biggest stadiums in Europe.
Yeah, like, and even like, for this team to go into a major final as a medal contender, like, how often has that happened? And like, it's just so, so great. And these amount of support that we have at home and live on television, like, it's just like, obviously athletics is such a minority sport, but hopefully we've got so many new fans within what we've done, and it's just so exciting for what is the biggest summer ahead with the Olympic Games.
And I mean, it's fantastic stuff. Can I just ask you about Joan as well? Because the spikes have hung up, unfortunately, in the past couple of days, and she's had a really nice career too.
Absolutely, it's been super having her there. I've shared the national record that still stands in the 4x1. She ran the first leg, I was on the second leg back in European Championships in 2018. So yeah, it's obviously been a tough time for her with injury. I suppose she is the reason why I'm in the sport, because she was the one that was miles better than me when we started off, and then I suppose as I progressed through the ranks, I was probably the reason she stayed in the sport. But this sport is cruel, and she's had her fair share of injuries, and yeah, she's hung up her spikes, but no doubt you'll see her coaching as part of maybe an Irish team in years to come.
Oh, we'll pass on our best wishes.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks very much, Phil. My good God, you've had a week and a half, Charlene. Well, race five. You're still standing, which is good.
Just about. I wasn't standing towards the end, but the girls got me through the mix zone, and we're here now. But yeah, I just ran with everything I had left, emptied the tank. That's all I had to give today, and it was enough to get us a silver medal. And honestly, the girls put me in great contention, and I just had to hang on with dear life, and that's what I did.
But you were always in a position where you were not going to be prevented from getting onto the line.
Yeah, you know what, I'm warm up, it was touch and go. Like, I was sore, I was fatigued, but yeah, the girls always back me. To know how much they trust me to step on that line every time, it's just, it's amazing. It's what gets me going all of the training. This is what I do it for. So why not step out on the track for my fifth time of this championship? And yeah, I gave it everything I had.
Well, we've ended up in a week where Ireland have had the most successful European championships ever. The most was 98 with 3 medals. Now it's 4.
It's crazy, honestly. It's just amazing. Athletics in Ireland at the moment is really taking off. It's an Olympic year. Everyone's getting excited. We're excited. And yeah, we're going to really remember this day, and we're going to back ourselves now. Like, Ireland aren't going in as the underdogs anymore, which is strange, but it's a really nice feeling.
And talk to me about what it's going to be like when you get home, because it's been going mad there.
I can't wait to get home. I think it will be amazing, even see my friends and my family. Yeah, it's going to be great, and the support we have is just second to none.
Absolute star. Well done, Charlene. Congratulations. Oh, my good word. I have to ask you, at this stage, Rashida, first of all, massive congratulations. Yet another medal for you, a third of the week for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. No, it's so exciting to be able to go out there again. And I just give thanks to God and everyone who's kind of supported me, helped me get here, the physios, my coaches, everyone who's been supporting me, because it's definitely a village that I took. So just being able to come out here and be healthy and get another medal with the team, I honestly can't be mad with that. I'm so happy for us.
I mean, a massive fight, because obviously you're coming in and there are so many other squads that are bringing the likes of Ball in as well and Kashmirek in.
Honestly, I wasn't worried about the other teams. I knew we had a really strong team, and regardless of how they did, I just focused on my individual run and being able to help the girls mentally and just have fun with the girls, because I knew our standard and I knew we could get it done, so I didn't really worry about any of the other girls.
No. How much are you enjoying doing this in a relay team as well as individually?
I absolutely love it. I've always preached how I love the team aspect, so being able to be out here with two relay teams and get 2 medals, it's phenomenal, because it just shows all our efforts were worth it, and we're just progressing so much throughout the years, and to be able to be here winning medals, breaking national records consistently, it's all we've ever dreamed of, and we're just consistently being at the top of the crop. So now we've established ourselves as one of the main teams to watch out for, and I love that.
How much do you enjoy being out there fighting in big races, tough races?
I love it. I'm enjoying it so much now, honestly. Like, it's about being able to have fun, not put too much pressure on myself. I know what I want to do, and I make sure that I'm always in like the best mental state to do that, and I think just being able to have fun with it is such an important factor.
By the way, I just nipped over to watch the end of the 800 metres for women. How many interviews have you ladies done with TV companies and so on since the race?
Oh my goodness, I don't even know, because we probably ran like an hour ago. So, and the race only lasts 3 minutes. So we've done a lot of interviews, probably about 45 minutes worth. So yeah.
And the final leg, the final lap, where are you watching? What's going through your head when you're watching it happening?
I was tired today, honestly. So I was like, literally like holding my knees, trying to see what's going on as well. I'm trying to look at the screen. So I was just trying to make sure. I trusted my teammates, so I knew they're going to do their very best. And regardless of what it is, I was going to be proud of them.
Yeah, great stuff there. So a bit of football now, when Cork City are 11 points clear at the top of the SSC Airtricity First Division heading into the mid-season break. The Rebel Army had a 4-1 win over rivals Cove Ramblers on Thursday night. Kian Coleman, Derek Rowley, Jack Doherty and Kian Murphy finding the net for City. After the game, Rory caught up with City boss Tim Clancy.
Tim, was that your best performance of the season?
Yeah, probably collectively. I think we've had a few really, really good performances in spells and games, but I think probably over the 90 minutes, that's probably the most pleasing one as well, yeah.
Caused them a lot of problems throughout the game. The first half, Conor Drynan was drifting in from the left-hand side. They didn't seem to know how to deal with it.
No, again, that's what we want. Players to pick up positions that the opposition don't feel happy going into, feel uncomfortable going into. And when we're in there, then we have to be more positive and probably penetrating more as well. But I think from very early in the game, Keane Murphy was a focal point, and when the ball went in, it stuck. And then Jack was able to get a little spaces off him, Sean Murray, Bagsy and Connor as well. So I think having that focal point as well with Murph being the main man was back to goal, he's very, very good. So it gave us that platform to have the performance we did.
He hasn't scored in a while. I think it was April of last year against Dundalk. What's that going to do for his confidence now moving forward?
Yeah, it's probably the only thing that was missing really, and it's things we work on Fullback overlapping, he gets in behind, Harry does, he stands it up back post, and you've the opposite wide man coming in, heads it across, and you've your centre forward tapping it in, so to an empty net. So in regards to that, it's probably a perfect goal from our point of view, and that's probably what Murphy just needed, just get that goal, get that monkey off his back, because everything else, his work rate, his hold up sorry, his hold up play and everything else has been exceptional, in his attitude, and that goal now, you can see the relief on his face as well, and delight for him, from everyone, the fans, the players, the staff and everything. So it was a really good one for us.
The one negative was Cian Bargery having to be carried off the pitch. What's the early situation there?
Yeah, listen, he's the problem you have with explosive explosive quick players is the risk of maybe a muscle injury, and it looks like Bagsy's hurt his hamstring. We'll obviously get him scanned and we'll see how he is. Too early to tell how it is, but listen, it's a blow for us because Bagsy's been excellent as well, and you see how positive he was, and his ball for the third goal again, another fantastic goal, probably our best goal of the season, with Greg getting it, Bagsy making the run in behind, good ball by Greg, and Bagsy crossing it for your sort of attacking midfielder to score a diving header and 6 yards out. So yeah, listen, really, really sore one for us with Bagsy going off, but we're hoping it's not too bad.
And afterwards you celebrated with the Cork City fans in front of the shed, looked like a good little moment.
Yeah, because listen, they've endured a lot of probably negative times and stuff 12 months ago, and since the day and hour I came in here, they've been excellent, they've been superb, travelling up and down the country. The noise that they make in the shed is, it's ridiculous no matter what the score is, and again, a local derby again. Everyone keeps talking about how big of a game it is for Cove, but it's not just for them, it's a derby for us as well, and I think how we've applied ourselves in the three derbies this season so far has showed how much it means to us as well, and it gives our fans the probably the talking points and the bragging rights to go home, and that's why we waited afterwards and celebrated, because even in the UCD game and Treaty game where we didn't get the win here, they were still brilliant. The attendances, I probably feel they're probably getting affected a little bit by the fact that we've had now so many home games in a row. We went so long with the away games, and it probably has had that effect where it's every week now we're at home, and a couple of times when you're playing a Monday and a Friday as well. So but to have 2,500 here in the first division and the noise that they're making, listen, we're happy enough now that we can send them home with smiles on their faces.
Yeah, you were talking in recent matches, Tim, like about that, you know, you put the chances away, like you're creating loads of chances, and you proved that tonight, like you could have been 6 or 7 there, couldn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think we've created plenty of chances. We're a threat from set pieces, which the first two goals come from. And again, I think their keepers made a few great saves. We've hit the bar with Jack in the first half. Greg hits the bar in the second half. We've had a few other really good chances as well. So, yeah, I think the impact that the subs had when they come on was very good. I thought Aaron Healy was excellent. And again, come on and control the game. Barry Coffey contributed as well. Malik looked lively, which is, again, it's more minutes in Malik's legs. And Josh come on and done well. And Harry obviously come on and set the goal as well. So, listen, really, really pleased with the impact off the bench and the whole squad. And, yeah, listen, we got the 4 goals tonight. I think we possibly could have got 1 or 2 more. And I think we've been saying for a long time now that if we keep creating the chances, the goals will come. It's irrelevant what happens elsewhere once we can get as many wins as possible. We focus on ourselves. We do look obviously at the other results when we go into the dressing room afterwards, so we know how hard it is to come to Finn Harps as well. So it was difficult for obviously UCD today. They've dropped points, and it shows as well the competitors of the league that Athlone beat us last week or the week before. We've gone and lost tonight to Bray, who have had a reaction since Ian Ryan's left. So yeah, it's tough. We got to just concentrate on ourselves and keep churning out as many wins as possible. Yeah, listen, we're gonna give. It's been heavily loaded with the home, with the Monday games as well. So I think that's 21 league games gone now, by the break. So it's been a heavy load. We've picked up a few injuries as well. So we need to monitor that. But the lads are going to get the week off. They'll be given individual programs to follow for the week, and someone will just be completely deloaded for the whole week as well, and relax, and we'll come back next Friday ready to go then for the game after the break. Yeah, listen, we're hoping Cahill will be available for the break game. After the break, he's coming along nicely. He obviously got the knock on his knee. He's missed, I think, 4 games now. So, yeah, it was a small little one, and obviously he's probably more precautionary than anything else, and he's doing running this week. he'll step it up again the next couple of weeks, and we're hoping he's available then for Bray in 2 weeks' time.
And Rory was joined on commentary duties by Cork City legend Danny Murphy on LOI TV on Thursday night. Here's what the Cockney Rebel had to say afterwards.
Okay, I'm with Danny Murphy here after Cork City's 4-1 win over Cove Rangers. We can hear from the crowd, they're in great form as the Cork City players salute them over to our far side. But that was an excellent performance all around from City, Dan.
Yeah, no, it was. It was a very professional performance. I thought from the start, like straight from the start, I was in Cove's faces, like picking up all the first and second balls in midfield and just caused Cove so many problems by their movements and how they moved the ball. Like, look, I always say it to people, like, if you play against players that are not at your level and you take too many touches and you allow them to get closer to you, but the one and two touch football, moving the ball and switching it today, caused them so many problems.
Tim Clancy just giving it to Jurgen Klopp there to the shell, as you've probably heard. But the Cork City fans are in good form, and why shouldn't they be, Danny? I mean, like, they're marching towards the Premier Division. It's inevitable they're going to get promoted, and I think tonight was their best performance of the season. The intensity was there, the attacking football was there, and just from 1 to 11 I thought they were excellent.
I know they was, and look, we should be going up. Like, we're good, we've got a good enough squad that it can compete up in the Premier Division, and it's difficult coming down, and like I've been there and it's hard, but it's a tough slog in the first division, but we're making like good work of it. And like nights like tonight, Thursday night, unusual night to play a game for the boys, to then turn up and put on a performance like that, maybe we should play every Thursday.
Cian Murphy was your man of the match. He got a late goal to make it 4-1, but overall, Danny, his contribution to the play was just excellent. Worked his socks off, really put himself about, and just caused those two centre-halves so many problems.
Yeah, no, he did. And like, I think, look, people probably don't see it, but like, when you're watching it from a more tactical point of view, is he stretches the defenders. Like, he makes runs knowing he's not going to get the ball, which allows people like Jack to then drop into little spaces and get on it. And then, you know, if we ever need to go long and play into him, like, he holds the ball up, protects it, allows like Jack and, you know, Greg and Mazza to run off them then in the first half, which caused them so many problems. And it is something that does go unnoticed, because people expect a centre forward to always score goals, and you know, he gets in some good positions where we always feel we could score. But look, I'm delighted for him to get his goal tonight, and look, you know, and the other players ain't able to play the way they can. Murphy's and on form isn't helping them.
Cove Rangers weren't at their best tonight. They were in a good run of form coming into this. They were unbeaten since they lost to City 6 games ago. They just couldn't cope with City tonight. No matter what they tried, it just didn't stick.
Yeah, no, it didn't. It didn't. And like, you know, I think it was difficult for them tonight because the midfield was won by City and it was dominated by City tonight, and they didn't kind of get to grips with the movement of City, and they didn't really fix that after half time. It just continued to be the same pattern in the second half, and they needed to come out and probably play a little bit differently and maybe go after them a little bit more. Look, you're already losing, so, you know, go and give yourself a go. But, you know, towards the last 10-15 minutes, going to a 5 at the back and just kind of shutting up shop, really. But look, City were really good tonight and they caused Cove so many problems.
Now, Cove did score a goal from a set piece, but you would call it, they'd made 4 changes just before that, and nobody knew who was marking who, I guess.
Yeah, no, look, I think when you make changes in a game and you make 4 or 5 changes and all your markers kind of change up, players get told it before they go on the pitch, but half of them are so excited to get on, they forget about the things you tell them. And you could hear Hamo's chatting across the pitch at them, but you see when the goal went in, he slumped into his chair because obviously someone didn't pick up the player they were supposed to. But look, things like that are going to happen when you make so many changes in moments of the game, and it's difficult then to get the information onto the pitch.
And for the lads now heading off on holidays and the mid-season break, they're just going to go off feeling 10 foot tall after their performances this season, but also tonight.
Yeah, no, they will. Look, they deserve the break. Go away, get the recharge, come back and kick on for the rest of the season. And hopefully we can have as well a little cup run going into the end of the season and get a nice little 2 cup finals for the men's and the women's, and both finishes. Men's win the league and the women's team finish as high up as we possibly can.
And speaking of the women's team, this season so far, it's been a season of ups and downs, I suppose, so far, but as you were saying to me in commentary, it's a young team, plenty of potential there, and it just has to be nurtured.
Yeah, it does, and we have to, sometimes we get a little bit too far ahead of ourselves as a staff and as coaches, because we think, well, they can win every game, but like, we've got to understand that there's going to be inconsistencies and it's not always going to be perfect. But in terms of performance this year and how much they've grown and developed, it's a massive difference compared to last year, and they will continue to grow and continue to get better. So look, we're really happy as a staff where we're currently at. We still want to improve and get better, but it's baby steps, and the big steps to take care of itself then.
Yeah, I was there to watch you against Athlone last Saturday. Again, I thought your performance in the first half was excellent. Second half just tired a little bit, and Athlone had that little bit more experience, I guess.
Yeah, no, Athlone made it very difficult in the second half. Like, as I was saying to you earlier, like when they were keeping us in our half and we won the ball back, we had to be braver and try and play out for it, because when we were going long, we wasn't going long enough, yeah, which was allowing him to consistently keep pressure on us. And sometimes you've got to break that cycle and you've got to go really long and kick it out of play even, just to allow the break of the game to get your team up. And we didn't do that well enough, but look, it's a little bit of naivety as well, but look, for me, it's, I'd rather them be braver and try and play through the break and the pressure, and then they'll only improve. And look, there's things we can learn from it, and it's something we can learn on and make sure it doesn't happen again.
Danny, a pleasure as always, buddy. Thank you.
No problem.
Cork 425, Offaly 319 is how it finished in Tullamore. Not a great performance, but bring on the Dubs next week. And we're also finishing here on the Big Red Bench on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Big thanks to all of our contributors here as always. Dan Casey is signing off. Marty Guilfoy is on the way next. Have a great evening.
The Big Red Bench with Bord Gáis Energy. Proud sponsors of the GAA Hurling All-Ireland Senior Championship.
Cork's Good Times Red FM. Catch me, Colm O'Sullivan.